Hello and warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and Steve Palmer to guide you through proceedings this week. Yet another jam-packed show, a couple of tournaments to look back on, a couple to look forward to, and the small matter of a major on the horizon as well. So I'm sure we'll have a quick glimpse at that. Steve, I'm sure you saw it the other week. I saw an email in my inbox off Bruce Millington that said one of the dullest ways to open a show is to ask your co-presenter how they are. But I'm going to continue to ask you how you are, because I think you need to get a few things off your chest, don't you?
Yeah, I think there's a place for pleasantries at the start of any broadcast. But yeah, I'm at a low ebb betting wise. We had three tips for the Memorial last week. I felt all three had a chance going into Sunday. All of them were within four shots of the lead. I got quite excited on Sunday afternoon. I filled myself up with hog on Sunday afternoon. Do you like hog, Jay?
Yes, absolutely, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's nothing like hog to make a man feel strong, invincible. So going into Sunday evening, I was full of hog and quite confident about how things were going to turn out. But then, yeah, the law just started beating me. You know, beating after beating after beating. John Rahm out the gate, started putting like a caveman, bogeyed the first three holes, ruled himself out immediately. Colin Morikawa, only two shots behind going into the final round, withdraws. I can't remember being on the end of a withdrawal as brutal as that one. He had sudden back spasms.
That's not what you want when you're in contention, is a back spasm, is it?
No. He was warming up, and he said he could only hit a 9-iron 90 yards or something, and he realized that the game was up for him.
Maybe Colin needed some hog in his life.
He needed a bit of hog, probably. Yeah, but yeah, the Colin Morikawa each way money just suddenly disappeared. You know, I almost mentally banked the each way money, and then if you look at it retrospectively, As things turned out, around a 69 would have got Morikawa into a playoff. So, you know, absolutely gut busting withdrawal. So Ricky Fowler became my only hope. Played the front nine beautifully, moved to within one shot of the lead. He's standing over a putt on the 11th hole from 3 feet 11 inches. Okay. I've eaten baguettes that are longer than 3 feet 11 inches. So I was just assuming he was going to put that in. But it was just a hard pull to the left. He just bashed it left, missed that putt, then went on to bogey the final three holes. Both days at the weekend, he bogeyed the final three holes, finished ninth with two other players. So, yeah, I'm on the canvas, Jack. Yeah, the evening didn't work out as I'd anticipated. I need you to sort of give me one of your famous pep talks.
I do often think with putting, it's one of the things, particularly with professional golf, that you watch and you just assume it's easy. And then you actually, if you stand over a 4 foot putt on icy greens, I reckon the average 10 handicapper misses, I don't know, 4 out of 10. They're not easy. So
Rock hard greens, weren't they? They were really tricky.
I mean,
If you came down from Mars watching the two best players in the world, John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler, play together on Sunday, and they both putted, you know, abysmally. You just assume putting was really difficult. If you said these are the two best players in the world, you know, they're all just missing tiddlers. Ricky, poor old Ricky. Yeah, he really, really, really teased me there. And life goes on. But I'm on the canvas.
Someone that is cheerful, I'm sure, on this Tuesday morning is Victor Hovland. He went on to win the Memorial in a playoff against McCarthy. Really pleased for Victor Hovland, Steve, because it feels like, you know, we know just how good he is. He's a lovely chap, isn't he? And clearly has such talent. But it's really kind of smoothed out some of the edges of his game. The putting's got a lot better, chipping. And now it just looks like a really kind of solid all-round player, and you feel like a major is probably on the cards for Victor.
Yeah, the putting is definitely better. He's really improved on the greens. He thinks he's better at chipping, which is probably the key thing. You know, he always talks about the improvements he's made. Yeah, the statistics aren't that impressive still. He's still by far his biggest weakness, but he feels like he's got more control around the greens, and he's just a ball-striking colossus, isn't he? I mean, you know, while everyone else was struggling on that back nine, he was 3 under par for the back nine. you know, those closing holes. You know, Fowler capitulated on those closing three. Other players did as well. Because it's rock hard greens, tough pin positions, but Hovland's such a strong ball striker. And as you say, yeah, cheerful Charlie. We love him. You should watch the media conference with Hovland and Jack Nicklaus afterwards. Tournament host Jack Nicklaus. They put him in there together. And yeah, it's great to see that Jack Nicklaus, obviously one of the greatest ball strikers ever. Hovland is going to become that, isn't he, if he's not that already.
I must say, you know, it is very nice to see Jack Nicklaus greeting players coming off of the 18th. But I bet the last thing McCarthy wanted after losing a playoff was a little chat with Jack. You could see he basically about to burst into tears, wasn't he? And having to kind of act polite. And I was like, I think I just wouldn't want to speak to him in this moment.
I expect, especially as I think Jack greeted him as Danny. I think whenever he was referring to Danny McCarthy, he was calling him Danny McCarthy. And Jack Nicklaus, absolute legend. I mean, I love the way he had his sunglasses with those things that dangle down and hold him into position. I'm not quite there yet. I'm very close to getting to the stage where I don't care what I look like at all, you know, like physical appearance, you know, clothes and just practicality outweighs any sort of look. And you get that with a lot of the older generation. They've just got to the stage, I don't give a monkey's, and these ridiculous things dangling in during the press conference. But who cares? He's comfortable in his own skin, rightly so. No one's going to catch him on the majors. But yeah, poor old Denny McCarthy. He's just a loose driver, isn't he? He's a magnificent putter and a loose driver. I mean, the funny thing is, if you had Scotty Scheffler doing the ball striking last week with Denny McCarthy doing the putting, if you had a Scotty McCarthy was playing last week, would have won the tournament by 20 shots. It was mad, the differences in ball striking and putting between those two.
Quick word on Rory, who was in prime position going into the final round, and I expected him to sort of go on and put in a real good effort on that final day. But my goodness, Steve, I mean, particularly his wedges, I don't think I've ever seen him as bad. I mean, just missing greens from sort of 70, 80 yards, 28 handicappers would be disappointed with such. And he was doing it, well, what felt like quite regularly. The putting was loose, and goes into this week, obviously a tournament that he loves. But that can't have been a confidence filling performance from Rory on that Sunday.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's the brain box, isn't it? I mean, he's tied for the lead. He's tied for the lead at the first hole. It's easy with the benefit of hindsight, but looking back on it now, a round of 71 would have got him into a playoff. Teeing off, if he'd known a round of 71 gets you in a playoff, a round of 70 wins the tournament outright. He started really solidly, par, par, par. And then on the fourth hole, pitches in for birdie, from a really difficult position. That was a name on the trophy shot. So his tail is up after four holes. You're thinking, blimey, here we go, Rory, here we go. Then he makes seven bogeys in the space of 13 holes. And you're absolutely right. The wedges, I mean, he had two really poor wedges on the two par fives on the front nine. Horrific shots. I think he'd be absolutely gutted with how he played from the fifth hole onwards. And we've got a US Open, coming up. We've got an Open Championship coming up. And where is McIlroy's brain box? I'm not sure where McIlroy's brain box is. Where is Scotty Scheffler's brain box? We can't move on without talking about Scotty Scheffler.
I mean, the putting was I think was it he lost eight shots on the green, which was like some form of record since data was being collected. It was just so cold, ice cold putter.
You're absolutely right. He's breaking all sorts of data records because he's producing some of the best teetering golf we've ever seen on the PGA Tour. But he's also producing just ridiculously bad strokes gains putting figures. And I feel like he's clutching at straws a bit because he's trying not to get too downbeat. We're right in the heart of the season here. We've got majors coming up. He doesn't want to admit there's any sort of issue here. So when they're grilling him on these things, he comes out with stuff which doesn't really make much sense. He says, it's getting better. What was the quote? I, I can feel it coming off the club face. I can feel the ball coming off the club face. And I'm listening to that just thinking, well, when I play golf, I can feel it coming off the club face. Yeah, it's not going anywhere near the hole, but I can feel, I don't really know what he's getting at there.
Do you almost feel, Steve, when you're that bad with the putter, you could almost start to chase it with your approach shots, and you get uber aggressive, and maybe you are going to have weeks where your tee to green showings are just so spectacular, like Scotty's was last week, because you're having to hunt pins because you need 4 foot putts as opposed to 20 foot putts. They do kind of go hand in hand.
Well, he says he's having to raise his game tee to green because he's realizing that he's not converting much, so he thinks it's helping him. But historically in the past, it's one of those things where it completely demoralizes a player, isn't it? When you basically got to get it at the tapping range to get it in. Eventually, it just puts too much pressure on you and you buckle. But it's a fascinating tale at the moment, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he's never out of contention, and he's putting abysmally all the time. It's remarkable. I can't remember a player doing something like this ever. But McIlroy and Scheffler with majors coming up. Yeah, question marks, serious question marks.
Absolutely. You don't feel it's sustainable to go that bad with the putter for so long. Any other to note from the memorial, Steve?
No. I mean, Danny McCarthy as Jack was calling him. I mean, I'm not sure. He was talking himself up for the US Open. He says he knows the track well. He's played Los Angeles Country Club a few times, so he fancies himself for that. But as we've discussed on Sweet Spot before, if you see a player, as you say, crying, I mean, he was virtually in tears at the start of the media conference as well. It doesn't bode well for the future. I think he's going to take a while to get over that one.
There we go. Let's move over to the DP World Tour and the European Open, where it was won by young Tom McKibben, Mr. McKibben. And a lovely story, Steve, this. I don't think if anyone found McKibben going into the week, then bravo. There was maybe a small glimpse the week before in the KLM Open. I think he finished top 25. But even so, you probably wouldn't have him down to go on to win this. Shot of the week, surely, that approach into 18. It kind of stuck behind the tree, the simple shot, just punch it out, make your par. Plays this delightful kind of raking hook, doesn't he? And puts it and makes birdie. I mean, a brilliant effort. Rory said, this has been on the cards. They know his talent. But to break through and win on the tour at 20 is some achievement.
It was a gutsy shot, wasn't it? I mean, when he was spoken to afterwards about it, he said that if he'd chipped out left, he would have had to go over the water. He felt he was so far right that if he just went straight with a slight draw, he wouldn't actually be going over the water. So he thought, he played the percentages, but just huge amounts of ability. He was 100-1 last week. I mean, I am a little bit disappointed not to be on, because we were backing him a lot around Christmas time, but then he started missing a few cuts. It looked like the grind of the tour was getting to him. But as you say, that little clue came in the KLM Open. He was 21st in the KLM Open. I think a few punters would have taken that hint. Well done to anyone who took that hint, because Green Eagle is a driver's track. He's a fantastic driver of the ball. So he's an exceptional driver, and he's got a big future ahead of him. And a lot of people in Northern Ireland, I'm sure a lot of people would have had the double, the McKibben McIlroy double last week. And it very nearly came off. So, I think bookmakers would have been relieved to see McIlroy fail at Memorial.
Any others to take a look at from that tournament, Steve? I must say my notes were fairly limited, barring McKibben. That was obviously a delightful story.
Yeah. Again, I was very unimpressed. I was speaking to Bruce about this last week. The DP World Tour events are failing to impress me. I mean, I think Tom McKibben's good enough to quickly get off the DP World Tour. I don't want to upset Keith Pelly, but I think the DP World Tour has not been of a high standard lately.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because a couple of years ago, I've always loved it. What was the European Tour? And now even I'm struggling to kind of get motivated to watch it unless I've, a runner in on the last day. It's a shame because, as you say, the standard last week was felt really poor.
Well, thank the Lord for betting. Betting makes anything interesting, doesn't it? You can go to, Sedgefield or Lingfield and all these Yeah, what's the sort of worst horse racing track going? I'm out of my depth here already, but
Fakenham or something.
Yeah. Fakenham. You could go to Fakenham. Apologies to any Fakenham fans out there. And yeah, you could have the six of the most rubbish horses in the world, but as soon as you've had a bet, it becomes the most exciting sporting contest of all time, doesn't it? So yeah, that's betting.
Always bet responsibly. Should we head to Canada, Steve? Always a nice place to go.
Yeah, never been. I expect you've been there. You're a bit of a globe.
No, I haven't actually. No, never been to Canada.
Lovely forests.
Yeah, quite right. Let's take a look at the betting.
We've got a lot of oxygen over there. Sorry, off you go.
Yeah, you have your breath out of your Heineken glass because sounds like the throat is struggling to hold up this week. Rory McIlroy leads the betting 5-1. He's won this tournament the last two times. Tyrrell Hatton 11-1. Sam Burns 14s. Matt Fitzpatrick 14s. Cameron the same price. Cameron Young, that is. Corey Connors 16s. Bigger the rest. Steve, always liked this tournament. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe because I like Rory and he often seems to win here. Talk us through what we can expect this week.
It's probably because you like enthusiastic galleries. You know, you get enthusiastic galleries here. Yeah, they're noisy but respectful. You know, last year's tournament was fantastic. We're at Oakdale Golf and Country Club this week, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. 7,264 yards, par 72, four par fives. Oakdale hosting the Canadian Open for the first time. Small greens are a feature of the layout. The front nine will play almost 400 yards longer than the back.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. The front nine, tight, tree-lined, bit fiddly. The back nine, easy-peasy, lemon-squeezy. Six of the nine holes on the back, you will probably have a wedge in your hand for your approach shot. I think we're going to get fireworks on the back nine this week. A field of 156 going to post. Clear, calm, pleasant. Temperatures around 20 C.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Pleasant 20 degrees, perfect for golf. How many selections this week, Steve?
Four selections. This is the new policy. I mean, until I get my spunk back, we will just be saying four.
Okay, very very reserved. Now, I was about to say, can Rory do it again and put together three? But you've just said small greens, wedges in hand for the majority of the back nine. I assume not. Who is your main selection?
Number one selection is Justin Rose at 18-1. Who the forgotten man of last year's Canadian Open. Yeah, that was an epic tournament, as I mentioned. You had McIlroy, Tony Finau, Justin Thomas going at it in front of noisy galleries. Yeah, one of the most memorable tournaments of the year. But Justin Rose also had a role to play that day. He almost carded us 59 in the final round. Do you remember that?
I do, that. Actually. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
it's absolutely sensational round of golf. And he had three bogeys in his final round. And carded a 60. You don't get many 59s, which include bogeys. Rosie almost managed it. So he finished fourth in the tournament. He loved the venue. This year's venue, lots of similarities to this year's venue too. Last year we were at St. George's, short tree-lined track. Oakdale, expect low scores. Oakdale, we got low scores last year. We're going to get low scores this year. That back nine, as I mentioned, is there to be had. Anyone hitting their wedges well, putting well, will be dangerous. Yeah, Rose's putting stroke these days is a thing of beauty. He works really hard at it. He's always on that Wentworth practice green. Yeah, I remember hitting the tee shot off the first there, and I was really worried about hitting him. Yeah, Rose is always on, because if you hook one left, you hit anyone that's on the practice putting green if you hit a really bad shot, which I'm very, very well capable of doing. That work he's doing at Wentworth is paying off. Consistently excellent putter these days. He's got used to combining living in London with being a successful PGA Tour player. He moved his family back a couple of years ago, and he was close to slipping outside of the world's top 100 at the start of the year. Justin Rose outside the world's top 100, it didn't look good, but he's played so well this year. He's back up to world number 28. He won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February. He was sixth in the Players' Championship. He was 16th in the Masters, ninth in the USPGA, 12th in the Charles Schwab last time out. So at the age of 42, Rose is looking elite again. I think we're going to get a 12th PGA Tour title on Sunday.
Well, that's made me very happy. Always like to hear Justin Rose's name, I must say, Steve. So good stuff. Justin Rose, the main selection for the Canadian Open. Now, who's up next?
Sahith Theegala at 28-1, who, like Rose, is in possession of a razor-sharp short game. We've got small greens this week. Chipping and putting well is essential. Thigala got those magic hands. He showed them at Augusta in April on his Masters debut. He finished ninth on his Masters debut. Yeah, I think that performance showed that we've got a 25-year-old here who was settled into life on as a PGA Tour star. You know, he had a lot of rough edges when he first came onto the scene. They've been smoothed. I think it's only a matter of time before we see his mantelpiece flowing with silverware. He won lots of silverware as an amateur. You know, it quickly became obvious he was a star in the making. He used the Korn Ferry Tour to get a PGA Tour card in 2021. Korn Ferry Tour Finals in 2021 elevated his game when it mattered most. It was really impressive the way he finished that season. And since he's got a PGA Tour card, he's just been knocking on the door of the winner's enclosure, isn't he? He was third in the Phoenix Open last year, fifth in the Memorial, second in the Travelers Championship, sixth in the Fortinet, fifth in the Zozo, second in the RSM. This year, same story. Fourth at Torrey Pines, sixth at Riviera, ninth in the Masters, fifth in the Heritage. We all know he's going to win soon. I think this is a good fit for him. I think it could easily come on Sunday.
Is he one of those, Steve, that you feel like once he wins, it could really start to flow for him? Because it is about getting over that finish line, isn't it? And you do feel once one comes, many more can flow.
I think you're absolutely right, because he's blown a couple of really good chances. He's a sensitive soul. In his full swing episode, you saw, he's a really nice bloke. He was trying, wasn't he, after he blew that chance in Phoenix. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, the talent is obvious. The first one is always the hardest, and I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, don't forget, he won the QBE Shootout Pairs event with Tom Hoagie last year. So he has got a trophy in his hands, but just one half of the jug, so to speak.
It's easier with someone alongside you, isn't it?
I think it probably is. I think everything is, isn't it?
Absolutely, Steve. That's two down, two to go. Who's the next?
Eric Cole, 66-1. Another player who is deadly close to the hole. Great with his wedges, great with his putter. Late bloomer, finished third in the Korn Ferry Tour Championship last year. Earned his PGA Tour card at the age of 34. Been making really good use of it. He was runner-up in the Honda Classic in February. He was fifth in the Mexico Open in April. And more recent performances have been really tidy. 23rd in the Byron Nelson, 15th in the USPGA. 24th in Memorial last week, and then yesterday he qualified for the US Open in Ohio comfortably. He's just moved into the top 100 of the world rankings for the first time. This is a prolific winner on the minor league tour. He actually won his 12th minor league tour title in April. When he didn't qualify for the Masters, he decided to go and play in another minor league tour event instead, Palm Beach County Open. And he won that by 3 shots. So, he's a prolific winner at lower grades. I think now he's ready to get off the mark of the PGA Tour.
I think we often forget, don't we, Steve, just how good these kind of lesser tours are. I mean, even the standard over here, you look at, Challenge Tour, Clutch Tour, like some of the golfers are just phenomenal. And they can't even get onto the mains. It is remarkable standards. It really is.
The strength in depth in golf these days is obscene. It's why I've switched Tommy Tiger to snooker, really, because breaking through in the golf game is going to be so difficult. So Eric Cole, I mean, he's clearly ready to win on the PGA Tour, and I think 66-1 is quite exciting.
Me too. I'm excited about that, Steve. Who's last on the list?
It's Ludvig Åberg. 60-1 is the best available with the firms that we can tip with. One of the most successful amateurs in history. He became world number one amateur in September last year. He's just ended his amateur career as world number one. He's been the dominant force in stateside college golf, and those performances have earned him a PGA Tour card. I mean, the PGA Tour, we're in a real, obviously they've been in a flap about live since it started. But they created this new path to the PGA Tour for college golfers, because remember when all those college golfers signed for LIV straight away?
Yeah.
You had Eugenio Chikara, David Puig, James Pyatt. Yeah, there's a real shot to the system for the PGA Tour to see all these college golfers just going straight to LIV. So the PGA Tour made this new pathway. Whoever finishes top of the university rankings gets a PGA Tour card, and Åberg is the first one to take advantage of that benefit. This is a 23-year-old with the world at his feet. And I don't know what price we could have expected this week, given his potential. He's got so much potential. I think 60-1 is fair enough, because these college golfers these days, Jay, they come out, they're just ready to win. They're so well prepared. It's not like the old days where they had to sort of serve their apprenticeship. They just come out now. They're ready to win. You know, your Hovlands, your Morikawas. I remember tipping John Rahm. We were talking about this at the start of the week. I remember tipping John Rahm for the 2016 Canadian Open. And you know, everyone thought I was mad for tipping John Rahm. He's a 21-year-old. He's only just come out of college. It was his fourth start as a professional. And he finished second. Tipped him at 66-1. He lost by a shot. Johnny Vegas pipped him by a shot. So at the age of 21, straight out of college, Rahm was ready to, you know, to challenge for PGA Tour titles. Åberg is 23 years old, so 2 years older than Rahm was. And he won twice on the Nordic Golf League in 2020. So 3 years ago, Åberg was winning professional events. You know, he was an amateur there, but he was in with professionals, and he won twice on the Nordic Golf League. So I think he's made a late entry into the pro ranks. I think he's a 23-year-old ready to just go boom.
There's a beautiful naivety as well, isn't there? And I say that in a positive sense. When we saw it with McKibben at the weekend, like, but you haven't had the downs of tour golf just ground out of you, and you're still energetic and fearless. And that could be really beneficial.
He's just been winning everything, and he goes out there and think, oh, I'll win this as well. Yeah, it's just another golf tournament. Let's go and win this. I mean, he looks an absolute specimen. You know, he's a real big boy. He's got all the tools. I mean, yeah, the way his coaches talk about him, they can't believe it. They think they've got the perfect golfer here. I mean, he nearly qualified for the US Open yesterday. He played okay in a qualifier, didn't quite make it. But this is his pro debut, and I think he can make an immediate impact. We're going to hear a lot about him. I think he's the best amateur to come into the pro ranks since John Rahm. Let's go straight away. Yeah, let's not delay.
So no kind of want or desire to have a little bit of money on Rory at fives for this one?
Oh, I mean, he's going for three Canadian Open victories in a row. You know, he won the 2019 one by seven shots. No Canadian Open in 2020, no Canadian Open in 2021, COVID-19. He won it last year by two shots, so he's going for the hat trick. But I think, as you alluded to at the start of the show, I don't think he's in the right headspace for it. I mean, I think from the Masters onwards, he's been in a melee, isn't he? I'm an expert on malaise. I've got a lot of experience on malaise. And I think Rory is in a professional melee at the moment. I think only a win can snap him out of this melee. And, you know, a win's going to be very hard to get, isn't it? You know, winning is hard, whether you're in a melee or not.
I must say, I was really hoping you weren't putting him up after I've said how unsuited he was for this tournament at the start. It would have made me look very foolish, but there we go.
No, he's 9-2 generally, 9-2. Yeah. I think only his biggest fans will get involved in that this week.
Okay, let's move on to the Scandinavian mixed, shall we?
Yes.
It's the Volvo Car Scandinavian Mix, which is beautifully named. Have you ever owned a Volvo, Steve? I have you down as once owning a Volvo.
No, I've never owned a Volvo. No. I had a Volvo recommended to me because they're very reliable, good engine.
Yeah.
But I went for a more flashy motor.
I often find with those that own a Volvo, they love to tell you they have a Volvo and how many miles it's done. You know, oh, it's done 200,000 miles. It's all running beautifully. No one else does that, do they? Like, if you own a Ford Fiesta, you're not telling people how many miles it's done.
No, it's true. It's true. No, they're very dependable, aren't they? As a lot of the Scandinavian people are, they're very dependable sorts.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the betting for the Volvo Car Scandinavian Mixed. Of course, the ladies' tour and men's tour combining for the tournament this week, hence the name Scandinavian Mixed. Alex Norén, 14-1. Lynn Grant, last year's winner, 16s. Alexander Bjork, 18s. Robert McIntyre, 22-1. Antoine Rosner, 25-1. Madeline Sagstrom, 25-1. Jorge Campillo, 30-1. Bigger the rest. Always an intriguing one to preview this, Steve. You've got male and female. You've got different tees in use. I suspect it's a bit of a nightmare to preview this one. When you see your editor putting this on your to-do list, you're going, oh, not the Scandinavian mixed.
Well, no, fair comments. But we're at a fascinating venue. Ulner Golf and Country Club. We've never been to Ulner Golf and Country Club before. Stockholm, Sweden. Stockholm is a place I've been desperate to go to my whole life. I've never made it. Maybe one day. 6,819 yards from the men's tee. 6,067 yards from the women's tees. Par 72, four par fives. A field of 156, as you say, 78 men, 78 women. Jack Nicklaus redesigned this course in 2013, and it looks an absolute doddle for everyone unless the wind blows. And the forecast is for nothing more than gentle breezes this week. So you better bring a hot putter to town if you want to win the Scandinavian mix, Jack.
And who do you think has the hottest putter of the 156 runners this week?
Well, that's a ruddy good question and a ruddy tough question. But what I will say is Alexander Bjork is the most likely winner of the golf tournament. I think 18-1 is fair, very, very fair. In fact, I'm tipping five men. Let's get this out of the way early. I make no apology for that. I don't want to upset anyone, but I'm tipping five men.
Did have a female winner last year, didn't we?
We did. We had an emphatic female winner last year, Lynn Grant. She was absolutely amazing. She won by 9 shots. But she was the only woman who finished in the top 14 of the leaderboard. And in the inaugural Scandinavian Mixed in 2021, only two women finished in the top 17. So, yeah, apart from Lynn Grant, the men have been dominating. They can still, from those back tees, on a course as easy as this one is this week, I still think the men are going to dominate. And I think Alexander Bjork is made for this assignment. It's just so difficult to see him out of the frame. He's just an almost permanent resident on DP World Tour leaderboards at the moment. Let me give you his full 2023 form figures, if I may. This year, 28, 16, 2, 42, 28, 16, 14, 4, 4, 29, 6. Last week, he's playing a long course, Green Eagle. Alexander Bjork is a short hitter. Last week's performance showed how well he's playing. To finish sixth on that course was a great effort. This week, he's going to a short, fiddly little course, which is absolutely perfect for him. He's accurate. He's got great short game. He's 11th on the DP World Tour strokes game putting stats. So I think he's the most likely winner because he's so likely to contend. Yeah, I know he's only won once on the DP World Tour. He's not a prolific winner by anyone's standards, but there's nobody in this field more likely to contend than Bjork, and that makes him the most likely winner for me.
I was going to say, because obviously the ladies are teeing off further forwards. How much of an advantage does that play, or is it still an advantage for the men because they will continue to hit it further?
Yeah. It evens itself out, doesn't it?
Does it make it a level playing field, or is there a preference either way?
That's what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve a level playing field, but it hasn't worked out that way. The men were very superior on the greens, in fact, in the last one. The bare facts from the previous two Scandinavian mixed show that the men are competing better than the women. I think it's a great shame, actually, that more of the best women are not entering this tournament. Lynn Grant is the highest ranked player by a long way. It'd be nice if you got some of the really best ladies come over for this, but they're turning their nose up to the tournament for their own reasons. But I mean, I think Alexander Bjork, obviously a Swede playing at home, I think he's a really solid each way bet.
Okay, Bjork first of the five. Who's next?
Marcus Kinholt. 40-1 best now. I got three Swedes in my staking plan. Yeah, traditionally the Swedes have thrived on home turf on the European tour. Marcus Kinholt, similar player to Bjork, generally neat and tidy, usually excellent on the greens. His only significant weakness is the same as Bjork's, lack of driving distance, not a major handicap at this week's venue. Ulner plays to Kinholt's strengths and his form is encouraging. 21st place in the Korea Championship was followed by 22nd place in the Sudal Open, 29th place in the KLM Open. So he's in really decent nick going to a perfect assignment. So, yeah, I see a Swedish 1-2, Bjork and Kinholt. Get a dual forecast prize. Yeah, it's just popped into me. Get a dual forecast prize on those two. Come on, let's be ambitious.
I'm sure that popped into your head before this. Don't act
that just popped into my head.
be truthful with the sweet spot listeners, Steve. I'm sure you've been thinking about that all week.
Well, they might not be out yet, the dual forecast prize, but when they do come out, have a little look at that one.
Okay, who's third on the list?
Mike Lorenzo Vera.
I love his name.
Great name, great character. Lovable Frenchman. His tweeting is exquisite sometimes.
Oh, is it?
He doesn't mince his words, as they say. He hates Patrick Reed. He hates he hates LIV golfers. He's very outspoken, but he's a consistently superb putter. All my Scandinavia team are good putters this week. I think it's going to be a really low scoring tournament. I think anyone carrying a cold putter would be left behind. Lorenzo Vera is still waiting for a DP World Tour breakthrough at the age of 38. He's won four times on the Alps Tour. He's won once on the Challenge Tour. He lost a playoff on the DP World Tour in the 2018 Sicilian Open. I think the breakthrough is coming soon. He got his first hole in one the other day in the KLM Open. Yeah, maybe a first victory would quickly follow that. He was seventh in the Korea Championship at the end of April. He followed up with fourth place in the Sudal Open, 12th in the KLM Open. He's playing really well. He finished 12th in the Scandinavian mix last year. That was his first try at this event. So, yeah, I think Lorenzo Vera, a really, really big runner at an attractive price.
Great stuff. Who's next on the list?
Rao Hisasuna. Hisasuna.
Tell me more about him.
If I say it 20 times, Rao Hisasuna.
Him.
You got
him?
He's 29th on the DP World Tour strokes gained putting stats. He's a 20-year-old Japanese young man making his way in the world and starting to really impress. He started contending on the Japan Tour at the end of 2021. Throughout last year, he was impressing at home. Then he finished 12th in the Zozo Championship, the PGA Tour event in Japan. Then he finished 12th in an Asian Tour event in Morocco. Then he finished second in the Australian PGA Championship. So suddenly, Hisasuna was performing well outside of his homeland. You know, it usually takes a while for the Japanese to impress outside of Japan. But he's done it early doors. And this year, that trend has continued emphatically. He's been consistently impressive. He earned a DP World Tour card at Q School, and now he's performing globally. The highlights have been 10th place in the Indian Open, 3rd place in the Kenya Open, then more recently, 16th in the Italian Open, 10th in the Sudal Open. You know, this is a neat and tidy player. I think Ulner is a good fit for him. So, 80-1, Rao Hisasuna.
Looking forward to getting to know him more this week, Steve, I must say. One more to go in the Scandinavian mix. Far away.
Jonas Blixt. 80-1 is the best available with the firms we tip with. A three-time PGA Tour champion, twice as an individual, then once alongside Cam Smith in the 2017 Zurich Classic Pairs event. He's heading home this week in pursuit of a DP World Tour card. You know, Blixt knows his A game is different gravy to most of this week's field. I always forget how young you are, Jay. You might not remember Jonas Blixt in his heyday, but let me guide you through it.
He's in his heyday now.
Well, form is temporary, class is permanent. I think it could come back this week. Just after he won those first two PGA Tour titles, he finished fourth in the 2013 USPGA. Do you remember the 2013 USPGA? Fourth in that. Then he finished runner-up on his Masters debut in 2014. I mean, these are achievements that other players in the owner locker room this week will be goggle-eyed when Jonas Blixt is telling them all about his achievements. You finished runner-up in the 2014 Masters. I mean, Blixt achieved great things a few years ago. Yeah, a long time ago. But, he's had a fallow period recently. He's gone from world number 33 to world number 789. But that short game class, his career was built on short game class. He was a phenomenal rock roller back in the day. You never lose that touch. I think he's well worth chancing this great. He's only 39. He's still got plenty to offer. And he finished 20th in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Talk about Justin Rose winning the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in February. Jonas Blixt finished 20th. Much better tournament than this one. And then he finished 7th in the Corn Ferry Tour event in February as well. So, I think on a course like this where, Blixt has always had a long game weakness, it's not going to be exposed at Ulner. Ulner is easy. I think the short game ability of Blixt will count for plenty.
That's a remarkable CV, actually, isn't it? And still relatively young as well. I'm counting that as young. 39.
You're goggle-eyed, aren't you? 80-1 Jonas Blixt. If the old Jonas Blix turns up, then blimey, the rest of the field's in big trouble.
There we go. That's it for the Scandinavian mix, isn't it? That's five. I think I counted right.
That's five. That's five. Yeah. Absolutely. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
No, any other to note, or you're happy with your lot?
Oh, no, I'm happy with my lot. I mean, Lynn Grant is the most dangerous woman by an absolute mile. You know, if you're going to back a woman, back Lynn Grant. She's the world number 21. You know, she won it by half the track last year. So, yeah, if you can get a price on Lynn Grant to be the leading woman, I take that. It's depending on the price, obviously. If they're 1 to 10, don't take that. But I think Lynn Grant will be the leading woman, and I think my five men will do me proud. I'm getting very croaky there.
I sound like a man,
Batman man.
Do you want free golf bets? Head over to racingpost.com/freebets now to claim all of the best offers from your favourite bookmakers. The week is still very young. What are you up to for the rest of this week?
The week is young. It's my daughter's birthday on Thursday. So I'm taking her to a show at Bournemouth International Centre.
Oh, what's the show?
The show is marking the 100th anniversary of Disney.
That sounds good.
Yeah, lots of singing, lots of dancing, lots of general merriment. So I'm not quite sure what it involves, but it'll be merriment.
I think that will put you in a really good mindset for the weekend ahead. That.
Well, I'm going to have to switch the phone off because I don't want the RBC Canadian Open distracting me from that one. And that would be bad dad work, wouldn't it, if I was scrolling through leaderboards. So I'll have my phone off and forget about the RBC Canadian Open for a evening.
Good. I think that's very healthy, Steve. Good stuff. Just quickly run us through the nine selections for this week before we depart.
Yes, sir. Canadian Open, Justin Rose, Sahith Theegala, Eric Cole and Ludvig Åberg.
And for the Scandinavian mixed, Volvo Car, Scandinavian mixed.
Alexander Bjork, Marcus Kinholt, Mike Lorenzo Vera, Raul Hesasuna and Jonas Blixt.
Steve, pleasure as always. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Likewise. Enjoyed it. Thanks, Jack. Yeah. Have a strong week. Good. Don't drink too much. Don't bet too much. I'm on an alcohol ban at the moment. Did I tell you about that?
For the month or
doctor's orders. I've actually got doctor's orders because my uric acid level is so high. And the gout in the toe is out of control. You know, looking like the elephant man at the moment. So I'm actually under doctor's orders, not the drink. So let's see how I get on.
Well, when Rosie wins this week, a nice, I don't know, orange squash to celebrate. thanks to everyone for watching at home. I hope you're well. Remember that Steve's put up a lot of selections in this. Please don't feel the need to back them all. And if you do, only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. We'll be back next week for the US Open. Looking forward to that one, Bruce and Steve, to guide you through that. Until then, stay safe. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.